Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 54, that first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. Through one paragraph ending, we had been living by faith and little else, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Debbie P., readers of the text, Wendy M., Penny L. C., and Alex K. The reference number for Sunday, July 26th, is 23,666. That's 23666. And for this morning, Monday, July 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,667. That's 23667. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann S.C.H., and Shelley E. will be doing the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. These are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve, to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 54, that first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. Through one paragraph ending, we had been living by faith and little else, commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Wendy M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Always good to hear your voice. Wendy M. In Boulder, Colorado, recovered. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves? And then, with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower? Who of us had not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing, we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith and little else. Okay, hi, everyone. Okay, so I remember reading this, and I felt like what Bill's doing here, or God, whoever wrote this, was it like, this is the punchline, like, we're going to build up this case, we're going to build up these, logical, arguments, and we're going to finally get you to see that faith and little else. And I'm like, that's completely true, right? It was like, I have faith that my car will work. I have faith that the meds I put in my body every morning will work. I have faith that, the breath, that my blood will flow. I don't even think about these things. I have faith in everything. There's not one thing I can think of that it doesn't require faith. Like, it's, so I'm like, wow, Bill, that's totally interesting. And then it says a goose flesh, right? Mental, I love the words, mental goose flesh, right? Which means The bumps on one's skin where one's body hair stands on end, it's a result of intense feeling, fear, anxiety, excitement, whatever, right? So I'm like, yeah, no, this is great, Bill. I totally get it. But I'm going to be really honest with you guys. It didn't matter to me if I understood this logic or not, right? Like, I think it's intellectually interesting. What mattered to me is this one word. It says, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves. I worshiped myself. There was no God because I was God. Like, for the first 10 years of program, I was stark raving skinny, and I didn't know God was involved in this situation, right? That's okay. You know, we get there when we get there. But yeah, worshiping ourselves, right? And what I know about that is that when I'm in self, it's exhausting, right? When I'm running the show, when it's all about me, and when it's me thinking I know everything, it's absolutely exhausting. Lying, being in self is lying. So lying is exhausting. Being in self is exhausting. Fear is exhausting. Running, like, all of this is exhausting. And I don't really need to understand that I have faith in everything. That's fine intellectually. But what I really understand is that this disease is going to beat me into a state of reasonableness. And what I really understand is that this thing works. Right? Because I'm either in one world, I'm either in Wendy's world, which is fear, which is, I guess, control, which is reason, which is perfectionism, which is self and more self, or I'm in God's world. There really are two worlds for me. When I'm in God's world, I'm not exhausted. Everything's easy. Everything is easy. It's the easier, softer way. And being in God's world is so, it feels so good, right? Being useful feels so good. Miracles happen, right? Like, I called my mom yesterday, and before I called, I just rehearsed, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you. And that was all God. And I talked to my mom, and I was nervous to talk to her first, and God said to come from love. And it was the most beautiful conversation that God demonstrated through me, right? Or I have, that's my time. Okay. Well, with that in mind, I hope you all have a beautiful day.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy M. Fantastic way to get us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So we're talking about page 54 today, that first paragraph. We found too that we had been worshipers through one paragraph ending. We had been living by faith and little else. Who would like to comment on that paragraph?
Alex K.
Doreen N.
Alex K. Doreen N.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Sherry B.
Sherry B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Regina V.
Regina V. Beautiful lineup. Fantastic. I have Alex K., Doreen N., Bruce E., Sherry B., Deborah G., and Regina V. Alex K., please go ahead and get us started.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, everyone, for being here and doing service. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, given a reprieve for today. I was thinking about how before recovery I had faith, but in the wrong things. Faith in myself, my thinking, my willpower to solve my compulsive eating problem, and faith in food to help me escape feelings and problems. I looked up the definition of faith, and one is belief in something for which there is no proof. Every time I decided to try again to control my eating, I told myself this time will be different, this time I'll do it. I believed with all my heart that I'd be able to do it, despite much evidence in the past to the contrary. I'd never been able to control this disease. I couldn't stay abstinent for long. I couldn't stop eating compulsively and stay stopped, but I still had confidence that I could do it if I just made up my mind to do it and tried harder. Even though it never happened, I thought this time it will, and I expected to be able to do it by relying on the same thing myself that didn't work before. It was delusional, holding on to a false belief despite the facts. And I also relied on other people and circumstances for my serenity, and insecurity. I felt as if I couldn't be okay if life didn't go my way or people didn't do what I wanted. And of course, I was often disappointed and frustrated because I can't control people in life. I'm powerless over almost everything. When I rely on those things, my serenity goes up and down. I have no peace or balance or stability. And today I have more of those things because I rely more on my higher power, where faith in myself alone and things outside myself is unfounded. I've seen lots of evidence that faith in my higher power works. My higher power does for me what I could never do for myself. It's my higher power who removes my food obsession and compulsion, and I don't feel the need to escape or numb myself today. I don't have to keep trying to and failing to control this disease that I'm powerless over. And my serenity doesn't go up and down with the whims of life and other people the way it used to. I have more equanimity. I have faith that I'm okay no matter what. I can have peace, whatever's going on around me, when I rely on my higher power. And that's where my trust and reliance needs to be, on my higher power. This program and my higher power are the solution to any problem I have, not just my eating problem, whatever life problem I might have. And I have a strong faith in knowing that whatever life brings, we can go through it together and all is well. It's a wonderful, comforting gift. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex K. from California. Doreen N., it's your turn to share, followed by Bruce E., and please let us know where you're calling from. Star 1, Doreen. Okay,
can you hear me now?
Oh, we sure can. Go ahead, Doreen.
Okay, perfect. My name is Doreen N., compulsive overeater. I've been in the disease for about a month. I've gained 20 pounds. The disease is progressive. Trust me, this is not my first time. This is not my first time in going through relapse. Why? Not only because of the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind, because I didn't ask God to help me with my obsession and compulsion over donuts. I would eat a dozen a day, baked goods all day. And it's very painful. It was quite torturous. And there's no words to describe the level of agony that I was in. When you're in the disease, you're in agony, pain. But that was because I wasn't reaching out for God. I wasn't making outreach calls. And I was lying to myself that, hey, man, like tomorrow I could start tomorrow. No, I have to start today. And that's what I did. My breakfast one day was donuts. And then later in the afternoon, I got abstinent. And I'm really, really grateful for that. And I can tell you, this disease will put me down. And I have faith now, not a finite God, but an infinite God. And I'm so at peace. I have five days today, and I must say, in the past 48 hours, I have found this level of faith that words cannot describe. What I can tell you is this. Donuts are not my higher power. Food is not my higher power. Food was my God. I have to reach out to an infinite power, the God of my understanding, and that's how I stay safe. If I don't have that conscious contact and a spiritual solution, I will go back. There are certain things that are guaranteed: death and taxes, and faith in the higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doreen N. Bruce E., it's your turn to share, followed by Sherry B.
Well, thanks, Dawn. Appreciate it. Good morning to everybody. Bruce E., I'm recovering in Southwest Florida and grateful to be on here. Let's see. I had been a worshiper of just about everything all my life. And now, when I didn't have God, which was 38 years of my life, maybe it's a little different than that. But anyway, then I became God, you know. So if I'm not going to be worshiping God, the real God, then I'm going to be worshiping myself. I'm going to be worshiping other people. I'm going to worship money. And I really got in big into worshiping money. And I did that for a long time. And, excuse me, I could kind of see why I did that, because I was into fear. Because for a long time I was broke and on the verge of bankruptcy for years. And I had three businesses, all of them failed. And then finally, so I was even worshiping money then, but I just didn't have any. Then I got into a situation where I got a good job and I started really making money. And then I really became a worshiper of money and things money could buy. Previously, I didn't want to worship her. I wasn't a worshiper of things money could buy because I didn't have any of them. And then I got money, and then I got worshiping the things money could buy. So finally, I really got down on my knees and started saying, "Man, God, I got to live different than that. You know, I got to be a worshiper of God." And I worship food. I worship substances because they made me high. But, you know, talking about having faith, I do have faith now today. Not an endless amount, wish I had more. But so my wife and I noticed that the lamps weren't working on the end of the couch. And we finally figured out that they were plugged in and everything, but the outlets weren't working or something wasn't working. And so, you know I've paid my electric bill, right? So I had faith that they ought to work. So I called my buddy, who's a master electrician, and installed them. And he said, "I can't make it down this weekend. I can make it down the following weekend." So he's coming down here. So I have faith he's going to be here. I have faith he's going to fix these. I have faith that even if he doesn't fix them, I'll be able to still live my life and won't have to go back to the food. You know, previously, man, if something like that happened, the light didn't work, I'd go back to the food. I had faith that the food would fix me, but it never fixed me. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Sherry B., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G. And if you happen to be just joining us, we're talking about page 54 today, that first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. Through one paragraph ending, we had been living by faith and little else. So, Sherry B., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. I'm Sherry B., a grateful, compulsive overeater in recovery today from New York. Already, I've been warned that it's necessary for me to get out of an ego-driven life to overcome my addiction, as we read the big book. Need to stop holding on to the illusion that I'm in control, only to find that I've created chaos. And I must have faith in a power greater than myself. So this paragraph points out that I have had the capacity to grasp onto a faith in invisible and visible sources outside myself, outside my own ego. And it prepares me to accept a life with a faith in God of my understanding, a real power that can restore me to sanity and heal me a day at a time from this disease of compulsive overeating. So I've chosen to accept that power. But this paragraph kind of sets you up for knowing that you have that capacity. And I'm grateful to accept the power and have the gift of abstinence. And for today, I'm in recovery. And just want to thank everyone for keeping this meeting going and all the tools that we have available to us. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry B. from New York. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Regina B., and then I will be taking some more names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, so much for your service and everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're with us today. You never have to live like you're living. And I am so grateful for that also. And I can remember through the years seeking, going here, going there, listening to this person, reading this, you know, continually seeking. And there was a part of me that had faith, but yet there was something missing that I was seeking. And I remember when I did my step work, and then I had an awareness. That's why I love those beautiful 12 steps. Every time I go through them, I get a different awareness. I get a transformation. I get a deeper connection, relationship with power. Because I discovered truly within me, I had no power. And truly within me was power. I found that power that was not me or anything out there. That power was within me. Also, I love how it shares in the book about the sea, a flower, a sunset. I can see that power in everything today. That power is everything. And anything outside of that is not that power. You know, my thinking that's off, my sometimes behavior that's off, you know, that's not that power because I get off track and I make a mistake and I get into the humanness of myself. And, you know, I'm starting to realize too that it's okay. The important thing is that I don't go to the food when I do that, that I get back connected to that power, get back aligned with that power, to my truth. You know, as long as I'm living in my truth, nothing else really matters. And I'm so grateful that I have that awareness, that I have that power. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Regina B., it's your turn to share.
Hi, thank you so much, Dawn. My name is Regina, and I am calling from California. I'm so grateful to be on Visions today. When I was working, I was a regular because I was driving to work at 7 o'clock. But now that I'm on vacation, it's been really hard to even wake up at 7. And this is one of the few times that I've been up this early. So I've been struggling, you know, with the food. I've been struggling, and I don't want that, you know. I want to recover. I want to stay abstinent. And I realize that this program, you know, it's not just a diet. It's a spiritual way of life. It's having a reliance and a dependence on a higher power. And so this paragraph is so perfect for me because I lost faith in God, the traditional God, when I was 13 years old. And when I look back at my life and what it was like when I didn't have God, when I didn't have a higher power, it was absolute misery, absolute misery. So I'm grateful that I'm in this program. I'm grateful that I'm in 12-step recovery because the faith in a power that is not me is, you know, that faith is coming. It's coming little by little. And I live in a lot of fear. So I don't want that fear. I don't want to be living every day scared and afraid and in fear. I hate that. So the solution for me is to really develop a beautiful, intimate, and personal relationship with a God of my understanding. And, you know, I do have faith and I believe because I see other people having a faith in a God, right, in a higher power. And what, also what the big book says. So I'm just grateful to be here, and I'll continue to, to develop that beautiful relationship. Thank you.
Ah, thank you, Regina V. from California. Well, we're talking about page 54 today, that first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers through one paragraph ending, we had been living by faith and little else. So we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share in this paragraph?
Yvette C.
Was that Susan? What was your initial?
C.
B as in boy?
C as in Charlie.
Oh, C as in Charlie. Very good. Susan C. And where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Perfect. Thank you.
Arlene
B.
California.
Okay. Perfect.
KS, Iowa.
KS, Iowa. Anyone else like to get in this lineup?
Debbie P., South Florida.
Debbie P., Florida. Okay. Let's go with that lineup. I have Susan C., Arlene B., KS., and Debbie P. Susan C., please go ahead and share with us.
Hi, this is Susan C., Pennsylvania. And I love, love, love this paragraph. I don't remember reading it, and I've read the big book many times. When I was a little girl, I, you know, probably worshipped my parents and other things, money, ourselves. The sunset, all that stuff. I love it. But I when I was younger, I started to have like fear and resentment. And then I started reaching again to continue to keep reaching for something that would, I guess, give me faith. So I continued, and then I would feel like let down because, you know, it wasn't what I thought I wanted or needed. And I just know by having, fears come up, so I pray at that time when I have that. And it changes me, and I get back like faith, okay? And I think it's, especially if I'm not eating well, then like a lot of anger comes up and that kind of thing. And I just feel like the more that I listen to the meetings, and I've been around for a long time, and had different sponsors, and I started to lose faith, in my higher power. And now I think when something comes up, I let it come up, and then, you know, I start praying. And that kind of helps me. And I had something this week, it was like, just feeling like anger and resentment. A lot of anger and resentment came up, and like blaming other people. And then I realized, like, because of the program, like, what was my part? So I think I get clarity when I have faith. And I guess I wanted to just continue, but I have to put in the work. And so I'm grateful for these meetings. Thank you.
Ah, thank you so much, Susan C. from Pennsylvania. Arlene B., it's your turn to share, followed by K.S.
Oh, hi, Arlene B. from California. I wanted to check in. I'm just hearing a lot of good stuff, and I feel like, it's throughout my life, I guess I've had faith in the food because it's felt like a solution, and now I'm been in program a long time, but I'm trying to get my way back to abstinence, and now that I'm older, it's almost like it takes less food to achieve a goal of weight loss. But I was realizing that I put a lot of faith in food, and that it feels like that's been the answer a lot. And, I have a concept of a higher power today that is very loving. When I came into program, it was not loving. But I heard, when I read On Acceptance, and it talks about, listen to religious leaders as well, and I heard somebody talking about God, a religious leader, and I thought, I have faith that the sun and the moon is always going to come up, and so I want to have that same kind of faith that God is there. Just because I don't see the moon or the sun for certain hours of the day, I know it's there. And that is the same kind of belief that I want to have in my higher power. Because the food is just, can be so immediate and it can shut me down. And that's what it does, as opposed to opening me up. And I've been feeling a little bit irritable and realizing that I've been acting out a little bit in terms of with people. And anyway, just wanted to ask my higher power that is loving and that is always there like the sun and the moon to help me on this journey. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Arlene B. from California. KS, it's your turn to share, followed by Debbie P.
Hi, thank you so much. This is KS from Iowa. Glad to be here. Glad to hear the great shares. I love the fact that it is true. We all have faith in something. It might be our own will. It might be status, all the things he listed, people we love, our neighbors, what people think of us. I mean, we have at least for me, one of the biggest things I did with step two was have to really zone in on the fact that I didn't just have one higher power. Everybody that had an opinion about me was my higher power. And then I met this crazy thing called addiction, and I realized I'd had a faith growing up. I had a God, and it had been sort of defined for me, and it was mostly a loving God, but there was anyway, I met this thing called addiction, and I knew if I wanted to be the kind of person that I was hoping to be, I was going to need what I would say a bigger God. So I always thought of that movie Jaws, when the big shark jumps on the boat and he says, we're going to need a bigger boat. That's kind of me. I'm in this like, wow. I mean, I've got this faith, but I'm going to need more. And what I found was when I opened my mind and just stayed with like, God, show me who you are and whatever, and kind of the blank slate, like a child, tell me what the next steps are. I was led to programs and people that told me step by step. They really had to break it down. I was in crisis mode. I was cunning, powerful, baffling. I needed a God that was very specific about what do I need to do in the next 5 minutes sometimes. I mean, that's the kind of crisis mode I came in on. So anyway, so we had faith, and I just had to look at my faith and sort of maybe adjust it a little bit, be more open to how can I be a more loving person? How can I be healthier? How can I get rid of a lot of this negativity or garbage from the past and you know, the kinds of things that addiction does to every family. If you've grown up with it, you got a lot of it. So anyway, but little or nothing, we saw at last that we need, at least for me, I had to stop and really expand and be open to what I had faith in. And that was a whole process. So, but here I learned how to do that, and I'm very grateful. That's all I've got. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, KS from Iowa. Debbie P., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take another name. Star one, Debbie P.
I always forget that. Debbie P. here in South Florida. And I know when I read this chapter, I thought, well, when I started reading it the first time, that I am not an agnostic. And then after reading it, I so related, because I only trusted myself, you know. Let me see if I can put this in words here, but I know in step one, you know, I had to admit I was powerless and my life was unmanageable. And coming back this time, you know, it wasn't so much the food, it was my life. And I'm 69 years old, and I'm like, wow, it was, you know, how I thought and how I acted, my relationships. So I could admit that. And then in step two, coming to believe that a power greater than myself, and listening to others and knowing it was there, and I knew it was there, but this time I really wanted it. I mean, I came back because I was suffering, you know, and just making that choice to trust others, follow directions. Yeah, it works. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie P. from Florida. We do have time for a couple shares.
Denise P. in Pittsburgh.
Denise P.
Larry G.
And Larry G. Okay, go ahead, Denise.
Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everyone. Denise, a recovered compulsive eater here in Pennsylvania, with my flaws and my recovered spaces. And inside of recovery, I am more in the eternal life world, whereas when I'm in my food, more in that temporal. So the powerful things that the food gave me, relief, you know, I had faith in my success. I've had faith in my failures, that I'm still a failure. So in the food, all of that insanity in step two can be kicked up. Well, in having faith in that shift over, if you will, into the eternal, I find it in step three. And it's like a grain of mustard seed, they sometimes say. And it's because there's potential in that little tiny seed. In step three is where that reward, that virtue is faith. And I don't get there until I get through step one and two, and then into three, through the honesty and the hope in step two. And when I'm in a place of God's will and having faith in that, I am not driven to the food and that power of the food to lure me, because it's powerful. But the book says, all powerful, God being all powerful, even over that stuff I mess around with in step two. And so lastly, the thought is, and like to share that, where my trouble is in step three. And I can't always tell when I've said, no, God, this, I can't let you have this. No, God, you can't handle this. Something that from my past, I don't know. But when I slip from, God, it's your will. I don't like this, but it's okay. In step two, God, your will, not mine. I'll be saved every time when that little prayer comes and that power greater than me outside of myself. Sometimes it seems just a little bit like that, that mustard seed, But that is where the redemption, if you will, the redeeming part of my faith is in that step three. Then I can go on into looking at those character deflaws and then being in 10 and 11 and 12 and hopefully helping somebody in the sponsor role that my higher power is leading me to. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Denise P. Larry G., it's your turn to share.
Thank you, Don. I have to pass.
Okay, no problem. We have time for a share. Who would like to take this last share for today? Is there someone who hasn't shared in the last couple days that would like to share?
Hey, Don. This is Sarah N. in California.
Sarah N. in California. Go ahead, please.
Great. Thanks. Just wanted to claim my seat. My name is Sarah N., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater one day at a time. Through the grace of my higher power, thank you so much for your service, everyone on the line. Welcome to all the newcomers. And I'm so grateful for this meeting, for the program of Overeaters Anonymous, for Bill W. and the Big Book, and, you know, this reading. And it's just been such a joy going through this chapter of We Agnostics. What can you say that hasn't already been said? I'm just grateful for all the shares and testimonies of this faith that we have in everything, for, you know, especially this paragraph, and it kind of sums it up. So we had faith in all these other things, and it's just wonderful for me to be reminded of all the things that, you know, I worship, you know, the sunset and all the beautiful things. And I truly am grateful for my higher power, who gives me the strength to do what I cannot, and to remove my character defects, especially pride and defiance and unwillingness, and replace it with, you know, the willingness to be willing to show up and just live in this moment. And sometimes it's just, you know, from one meal to another, or one day to the next, but never give up. And I'm grateful just that my higher power is there, and again, that all these tools and program are here. So thank you, everyone, for being part of my recovery. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah Ann. California, great way to end our meeting. And I did hear another voice that was trying to come in when Sarah was going to be sharing. So anyway, please come back tomorrow, because I would love to hear your share. We all would. So please come back tomorrow and share. All right, well, we're going to close now with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L. C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, thank you, Dawn. This is Penny L. C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if you're only, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.